Hello, and welcome to episode 9 of RomPod. I am your host, Amanda McCall. Are you ready to share the love? The show notes for each episode at rompod.com contain links to this and other stories by our featured authors, all of whom have generously agreed to share their stories with us for free. Please support them in any way you can, like exploring more of their work. This week's story is a contemporary tale by Andrea J. Wilson titled Autumn Academics and Affairs. It is part one of the Hope and Bliss story and is to be included in the Four Seasons of Love anthology to be released early next month. Part two is called Summer Secrets and Sins. You can pre-order a copy through Andrea's publishing company, Divine Garden Press. Divine Garden Press specializes in marriage and relationship books, and last year Andrea's best-selling novel, Wife 101, was a finalist for several awards, including the USA Best Book Award, Top 12 Reads of 2012 by the OOSA Online Book Club, and it tied for Book of the Year on Read It All Book Reviews with its sequel Husband 101. They are both romantic fiction novels with a basis on Christian values. Personally, I am not religious, but if you are, then the reviews of these novels are, to say the least, positively glowing. She has also co-authored a song, thrillers and mystery novels under her pseudonym Janelle, co-written several other books in various genres. She is a college professor, therapist, counsellor, and runs professional development seminars. You can purchase her works on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Divine Garden Press, like her on Goodreads and Facebook, follow her on Twitter and Pinterest, check out her YouTube channel, and have a look at her website, Andrea Wilson Online, where you can find her blog, contact her for speaking opportunities, subscribe to her mailing list, and find out more about this fascinating and, what must go without saying, be a very busy woman. This week's tale is narrated by yours truly, and so, without further ado, sit back, grab a glass of your favourite beverage, and enjoy. Autumn Academics and Affairs by Andrea J. Wilson. Victoria secretly hated her job. She used to love it, but every semester that passed brought more demanding students and an even more demanding administration. Each time she got an email or a letter from the Department of Academic Affairs, she cringed, wondering what systematic change would make her have to work twice as hard for the same paycheck. The only reasons she stayed was because she had grown accustomed to her three-bedroom townhouse and her luxurious late-model Chrysler 300. She couldn't afford either without being on a payroll at Rochester State University. Not only that, but she loved the looks on people's faces when she told them that she was a college professor. "Oh, you look so young," they said in shock, as they reclassified her in their minds. She would watch their eyes. She could see her name being moved up from nobody to people we respect. "I am," she'd respond back with a polite smile. In her mind, she always questioned why people assumed a college professor had to be an ancient-looking man dressed in a tweed suit with a salt-and-pepper beard who rambled about theory all day. Why couldn't society redefine a higher education instructor to be a curvy woman with short, curly, auburn hair who typically wore cotton t-shirts and blue denim jeans? She might not look the part, but she definitely played it. Just as summer vacation was getting good and the stress from the spring semester was rolling off her shoulders, the fall semester returned, and so did her four sections of undergraduate human sexuality and her Monday night graduate-level treatment planning course. Yes, she taught human sexuality, but it was nothing like it sounded. She was an assistant professor of psychology, and her human sexuality course was textbook only. The last thing she wanted was students complaining to the dean that some video or discussion in the class made them feel uncomfortable. Therefore, she kept her lectures strictly scientific. The human body, reproduction, development, illness, that was it. Of course, every term a few perverted students attempted to make sly comments to jazz up the material, but she quickly shut them down and continued on with her academic lesson. It was her first day back, and she hadn't yet settled into her office when the semester's first dilemma arose. As she dropped her purse on the desk and sunk down into her leather chair, her office door flew open and an unknown man, carrying a big cardboard box, barged in. "Excuse me, don't you know how to knock?" she exclaimed, completely annoyed by his intrusion. He placed the heavy-looking box down on the empty desk on the other side of the office. "Oh, sorry. You must be Dr. Victoria Hope. I've heard wonderful things about you. I'm Byron Bliss, Dr. Byron Bliss." He extended his hand to Victoria, and she shook it half-heartedly. "Nice to meet you, Byron. I'm sure you're a nice person and a colleague I should probably know, but I don't understand why you're in my office." He grinned, revealing the most alluring dimples on his right cheek. "Oh, academic affairs must not have had a chance to tell you. I'll be sharing this office with you. They're actually doing renovation work to Baxter Hall. They had to move me, and I guess your office is actually a double, so they put me in here. Sorry if my being here will inconvenience you in any way." Victoria took a moment to size him up. She had to admit to herself that he was quite attractive. Smooth, taffy-coloured skin, chestnut eyes, tall, solid build, as if he used to play football back in college, and that hard-to-resist dimple. Yeah, he was what she and her friends called scrumptious. The kind of guy you could easily overindulge in. Sort of like eating chocolate cake. Although he was a handsome specimen, Victoria, or Vicky, like her friends called her, wasn't interested. Life was overwhelming enough. She didn't want or need any additional extracurricular activities. As it was, her job was barely tolerable. She had just dismissed her last flunky boyfriend for being unfaithful, and her family had decided to host Thanksgiving dinner at her house without her consent, and regardless of the fact that she couldn't cook. She desperately needed to make it through the semester with as less drama as possible. No, there would not, could not be any taste testing of Dr. Bliss. Instead of returning his smile, she rolled her eyes. "No, they did not tell me. Academic affairs never tells me or even asks me anything, but I guess I don't have a choice in the matter, so make yourself comfortable." He nodded and began to remove his laptop and other items from the cardboard box. "You know, maybe our schedules are opposing, and we don't need to use the office at the same time. I'm sure we can work something out. What do you teach?"
"Human sexuality and treatment planning Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, with office hours in between classes. You?"
"Business sustainability and operations management, same days."
"Fantastic," she said sarcastically. "Any other good news you've got for me?"
I just saved a lot of money on my car insurance using Geico." He smiled.
"Oh, a funny guy, huh?"
"It works for the students."
"I bet."
She swirled around to face a desk, non-verbally letting him know that their conversation was over. She hated to come off as icy, yet she wasn't in the mood for small talk. Plus, she figured that the less she knew about Dr. Bliss, the less likely she would end up violating her own rule against fraternizing with male colleagues. "Pretend he's not there," she thought to herself as she tried with all her might to ignore the cutest man on campus who happened to be sitting directly behind her. At Rochester State University, professors were required to return to work a week and a half before students started classes. The week was full of pointless meetings and faculty development seminars aimed at getting everyone on one accord for the school year. Vicky dreaded these activities, hating that they continued to give the same information out over and over again. She'd rather be at home, curled up with a good book or shoe shopping with her identical twin sister Vivian. Instead, on the third day back to work at 12:30 p.m., she found herself in a faculty luncheon that focused on student safety. The chicken was dry, the salad dressing was sparse, and the only good thing about the luncheon was that she got to sit next to her good friend and colleague, Nancy Watkins.
"Who is that?" Nancy said as she leaned closer to Vicky, but kept her eyes firmly on the man who caught her attention.
"Who?" Vicky said, before following Nancy's stare. "Oh, that's Dr. Bliss. The guy I was telling you about, the one that infiltrated my office."
"That's Dr. Bliss? Oh, my. Well, if you don't want to shack up with him, I will."
"Hush!" "Do I detect a hint of jealousy?" Nancy teased.
No, you don't. You can have him. I am so not interested.
Come on now. You mean to tell me that you don't find him the least bit attractive? The man is practically model material. I would love to hang a poster of him on my bedroom wall.
Vicky gasped. Would you stop mentally fornicating with him? I didn't say that he wasn't attractive. He's very good looking, but that's not the point.
Then what's the point?
Lost for words, Vicky hesitated while watching Byron Bliss take his seat and the university's president approach the podium.
The point is, President Brown is getting ready to speak. Stop being rude and be quiet.
Nancy giggled.
Mm-hmm, that's what I thought.
Despite Nancy's insinuations, Vicky was not interested in Dr. Bliss, or so she told herself. She managed to get through the rest of the pre-semester period and into the first 2 weeks of classes without having to spend too much time cramped in her office with her new office mate. She did so by making every excuse to leave when he came in and return after he'd left back out. She had no clue why she felt the need to run from him, but something within her told her that it was best that she maintain her distance. He reminded her of several of the men whom she had dated who were too sexy for their own good. Most of the time they knew they were handsome and played it to their advantage, breaking hearts along the way. When she was in her 20s, it was cool to get swept away by some hunk, but she was in her 30s now, which meant she was way too old to be falling for the same tricks.
Don't forget that your papers on attraction are due next class, and make sure that they are formatted in APA. If you don't know APA, you'd better figure it out before you turn in those papers, because I'm deducting 10% for anything that is formatted incorrectly, she said firmly to her students in one of her human sexuality courses before dismissing them. The students groaned in complaint, but she shrugged at them to demonstrate her lack of sympathy. She had become exhausted by their laziness and unwillingness to work hard for their education. It appeared that the only method that worked in getting them to follow instructions was threatening their grades, so she used the approach guiltlessly. Vicky collected her binders and headed to her office to get some grading done before her final class of the day. She prayed that Byron wouldn't be there, but her prayer went unanswered. She walked into the office and found him sitting at his desk, conversing with a female student.
"Hello, Dr. Bliss," she said evenly, trying to keep the resentment out of her voice.
"Hi, Dr. Hope,"
he responded cheerfully before turning his attention back to the young woman. Vicky quickly assessed the young woman and cut her eyes at her. She couldn't have been a day older than 21, yet was wearing a skirt that barely covered her unmentionables. Vicky never understood why women disrespected themselves by acting promiscuous and thinking it would get them the man they desired. No matter the man, they were all the same. Once a man got what he wanted from a woman, he was on his way to the next conquest. None of them were different, including Dr. Bliss. She was sure of it.
"From now on, slow down when you're reading the material and taking the quizzes. You'll do fine. It's not as hard as it looks," Byron said to the girl as he stood up, indicating to her that their meeting was over.
"Okay, thanks so much, Dr. Bliss. I just don't want to fail this class. This is my senior year and I have to graduate on time," the young woman replied.
It took everything within Vicky not to laugh out loud. The girl was obviously playing him. What student cared so much about their grades this early in the semester? No, that's not how it worked. Students were notorious for playing around over half of the semester, then waiting until a few weeks before the finals to come in crying about their grades. This young woman was pulling the old damsel in distress card on Byron, and he was too full of himself to know the difference. As soon as the student left the office, Vicky spun around in her chair and gave Byron an annoyed glare.
"Seriously? Tell me you didn't fall for that," she mocked him.
Dr. Bliss looked over at her and laughed. "Fall for what?"
"That whole, I'm so concerned about my grades," performance. "You and I both know that the students could care less at this point. Most of them believe that they have plenty of time to fix whatever mistakes they make early in the semester. The only ones who really care are the overachievers, who have to make an A on everything or their world comes crashing down. And trust me, that little girl who just left here is definitely not an overachiever."
"Wow, you've got it all figured out, huh?"
"It doesn't take long to know the routine."
"What happened to you?"
"What do you mean?"
"Why are you so cynical?"
"Excuse me?"
You heard me. What did the school or some student do to you to make you so negative about it? Yeah, that student probably has a crush on me and was just using her failed quiz as an excuse to get close to me, but if I can use the opportunity to help her to improve academically, so be it. That's our job, to motivate and develop these students by any means necessary. Vicky shook her head in disapproval. Okay, Malcolm X, if you've done with your civil rights / enthusiastic educator speech, I'll get back to loathing my job and counting down the days until Thanksgiving break, like most overworked and underpaid educators. Byron let out an unexpected laugh, causing Vicky to frown at him in disdain. What's so funny? You are. But as much as your misery is somewhat comical, it's also very cute. Vicky held her breath at the recognition of his flirtation. Did he just call me cute? She thought, but refused to linger on that thought or even consider that Byron could be attracted to her. Pushing the silly idea aside, she exhaled and turned her back to him. So what excitement is waiting you during Thanksgiving break? He continued on as if she was still facing him. She huffed, irritated that he couldn't take her hint, as she flipped through her gradebook and replied, Only the seasonal joys of hosting Thanksgiving dinner with a bunch of nosy relatives who expect me to cook foods that I don't have the slightest idea of how to make. You have such a way with sarcasm, but if you need help with cooking, I used to work as a chef. I can teach you a few recipe holidays. Thanks, but no thanks. You sure? Yeah. Positive. All right, I tried. Anyway, I have a meeting, so I'm heading out. Byron said as he shoved a few papers into his leather bag and slid it onto his shoulder. Vicky, try and ease up a bit on the students. They're here because they need us. Vicky ignored his comment and waved him away. Goodbye, Byron. It was a week and a half later when Vicky entered her office, surprised to find her nostrils assaulted by the alluring aroma of potato salad, greens, fried chicken, and macaroni and cheese. She was more than surprised to find a styrofoam container filled with foods she typically only ate on holidays, placed strategically on her desk. She figured that the plate was the workings of Dr. Bliss, and she was tempted to return it to his desk, but her stomach grumbled in dispute of the rebellious thought. Hungry and curious, she forked a few of the leafy seasoned greens into her mouth and moaned in delight. She continued on to sample each of the items in the container, her taste buds in agreement that the food was to die for. She closed her eyes for a second to savour the richness of the food, opening them to find Byron standing across from her wearing a smug grin. Good, huh? He asked, although he could probably tell from her guilty expression that she was in heaven. Vicky resisted the urge to lick the plastic fork and instead placed it inside the container and closed the box. She wanted to eat the rest, but would have to save it for later. Yeah, it's quite tasty, she replied, feeling uncomfortable with complimenting him. I made it last night for dinner and thought about you, so I brought you some. I figured you should try out my food for yourself before you turned down my offer to help you cook for Thanksgiving again. That was very thoughtful of you, but I don't know if... Listen, I'm sure you're probably used to doing things on your own, but it's okay to get a little help from time to time. Look at it as payment for having to share your office with me. She had to admit to herself that his food was wonderful, and that she needed culinary help badly. As much as she wanted to reject any notion of using his services, the holiday was rapidly approaching and she still had no game plan on how to resolve her cooking deficiency. She had considered purchasing pre-made food, but her family was old school and would quickly sniff out store-bought food. Her only two options were trying to cook herself, which was likely to result in dry turkey and tasteless black-eyed peas, or to enlist the help of someone who knew what they were doing. Someone like Byron. Cursing herself and the situation under her breath, she gave in, hating the fact that she needed him. Okay, Byron, you can help me with Thanksgiving dinner, she responded, making it sound as if she was the one doing the favour. He laughed, most likely at her stubbornness. Now that wasn't so hard, was it? She gave him a malicious glare, already regretting her decision. So, we can do this one of two ways. I can either come to your place the morning of Thanksgiving and cook the food for you, Or I can start teaching you how to cook now so that you can make everything yourself on Thanksgiving. I have a huge kitchen, so it would probably be best for me to teach you at my place.
She let his words replay in her mind. If he came to her house on Thanksgiving, there would be a chance that he would run into her family. And she would never hear the end of it. They would want to know who he was and why she wasn't dating him. From that moment on, at every family gathering, they would question her about the good-looking professor that she let get away. Plus, she never allowed men she knew to meet her family, because she feared letting men get too close to her heart. No, coming to her house on Thanksgiving wouldn't work. Vicky dreaded the idea of having to meet him at his house for cooking lessons, but it was a better choice than bringing him home for the holiday. Let's just have you teach me in advance.
Okay, great. Well, Thanksgiving is a little over a month away. Why don't we get started soon so that you'll have enough time to cook each dish more than once before Turkey Day? If you're free next weekend, you can come by and we will make... Maybe we can do a hen, cornbread dressing and greens.
His plan sounded overwhelming. She couldn't imagine herself cooking any of these items, but for the sake of not looking weak, she said, fine. On Saturday, Vicky wished she would have answered no instead. She stood in front of the door to his downtown loft apartment, debating whether she should ring the bell or run. She wasn't sure what it was about Byron that made her feel so uneasy. He had been nothing but polite and kind to her, yet her defenses went up every time he was around. She wanted to chalk it up to her still being upset from having to share her office with him, but they were halfway through the semester and she had already accepted her office mate's presence. The thought entered her mind that maybe she liked him, but she quickly dismissed it. There was no way she was interested in Dr. Bliss. Yes, he was charismatic and attractive and intelligent, but he still wasn't her type. But what exactly was her type? She questioned herself about this, standing in front of his door with her hand raised in the air as if she intended to knock, but couldn't find the courage. Before she could make up her mind, the door swung open and a casually dressed Byron Bliss greeted her, looking yummy as usual. "You made it," he said, as he backed away from the entrance to let her in. "I was going to call to see if you got lost." She permitted her eyes to scan him critically. He seemed relaxed. Too relaxed. Wearing a black fleece Adidas sweatsuit and a pair of flannel slippers. The jacket to the sweatsuit was unzipped, exposing a white cotton t-shirt and smooth brown skin. A wayward thought about him taking off his jacket and revealing his muscular arms crossed her mind. She mentally scolded herself for being a sucker for a good-looking man and vowed to control her fantasies, especially those including Byron. Offering a chilly smile, she entered his loft and allowed him to lead her to the kitchen. Byron had prepared for her visit. The countertop was filled with groceries, seasonings, and cookware for their lesson. Vicky pulled off her coat and hat, hanging them up on the back of a chair nearby. "Okay, we need to get the greens and the hen started because they will take the longest to cook," he said while he began to season the hen. Once the hen was in the oven, he showed her how to cut and clean collard greens, putting them in a big pot on the stove to cook. He then began to demonstrate making cornbread for the dressing. As he prepared the food, he inserted a Kenny G CD into the player and let the jazzy rhythm become the soundtrack for their cooking. Vicky was impressed as she watched Byron command control over the kitchen. She never thought domestic work was a turn-on. That was until Byron let her spend several hours in the kitchen with him. Now she finally understood why so many women believed in cooking for their men. Seeing someone create the most enticing smells and delectable entrees could easily serve as a romance enticer. She decided then that she would commit to learning how to cook. However her next beau, he would benefit from her new appreciation of preparing hot meals. Hours after her arrival at his home, they sat down to enjoy the food for which they had been slaving over half a day to make. Byron set the table and took the liberty of adding yams and split pea soup to the menu, both of which he had cooked the night prior. They ate in silence until Byron finally asked,
"So, what do you think?"
"Everything is delicious," she answered after wiping her mouth with a napkin.
"I agree. Was cooking with me as painful as you imagined?" Vicky laughed.
"No, not at all.
I hate to admit it, but it was actually nice. Cooking is a lot of work and it takes quite a bit of time, but eating food like this is definitely worth it. Once again, I agree. So, now you know how to make hen, green cornbread, and dressing. Next time, I will teach you how to fry chicken, bake macaroni and cheese, cook cabbage, and maybe whip up a potato salad. How does that sound? It sounds great, but I am so full right now that I don't want to hear anything more about food. Byron chuckled and nodded. Understood. 2 weeks flew by, and before Vicky knew it, she was back at Byron's loft, learning how to make the soul food she loved the most. Their relationship had taken a drastic turn from the cordial and polite to authentic and friendly. She was starting to look forward to running into him at the office, and by the second week they had even grabbed lunch together on 3 occasions. As they cooked, Vicky felt comfortable enough with him to tell him about the various family members who would be in attendance at her Thanksgiving dinner. She was expecting approximately 30 relatives to take over her space for the day, leaving behind dirty dishes, mounds of trash, and the remnants of the meal that was to be served. To help ease her cleanup concerns, Byron coached her on how to use paper plates and plastic utensils and foil baking pans to cut down on the dishes to be washed. He also agreed to come to her house the day after Thanksgiving to help her straighten her home back up. Vicky looked at him and sighed. She enjoyed spending time with Byron and appreciated his assistance, but couldn't seem to wrap her mind around his generosity. Why are you doing all of this? Don't you have your own Thanksgiving plans? I'm sure you have a family or a girlfriend you want to be with on the holiday instead of hanging around helping me. Byron slid a pan of macaroni and cheese into the oven and closed the oven's door. Turning around, he leaned against the counter and said, I'm doing this because you need me. Yes, I have my own Thanksgiving plans. I'll be spending the day with my parents and siblings, and no, I don't have a girlfriend. Any more questions? She smirked. So, that's what this is all about? You like the idea of me needing you? No, that is not what this is about. This is about helping others. We are supposed to help those in need, and you are in need. Byron chuckled, then continued. However, in all honesty, I do get a small fraction of pleasure out of you needing me. Why? Because women like you never want to admit when you need someone, especially a man. It's okay to have needs. It's okay to ask for help. That is how God created us, to lean on each other. Byron walked across the kitchen to Vicky, stopping so close to her that she unconsciously stepped backwards to give herself more room. He moved even closer, feeling the few inches that separated them. Why won't you admit that you need me? She opened her mouth, but no words came out. She wanted to scream at him, push him away, and walk out of the door, but her body wouldn't cooperate. She could smell a hint of his aftershave, hear him breathing in and out, feeling the warmth from his skin as he reached out, tilted her chin upwards, and planted a soft kiss on her lips. Vicky, admit that you need me, he repeated, once his lips parted from hers. Vicky felt weak. Her lips still tingled from the kiss. Butterflies spread throughout her stomach and chest. I... was all she managed to mumble before he lowered his face to hers and kissed her again. Tell me that you need me, he requisitioned once more. She had to get away from him. He wanted too much too soon. She looked down at her trembling hands. He had an effect on her that no man could ever claim. She felt emotions that she didn't want to feel for him or anyone else. As much as she wanted to give him the permission that was surging up within her, she couldn't trust him or what she was feeling. No, she said, finding her voice and her words again. I have to go. Vicky backed away from him, grabbing her coat and hat, and headed out the door, leaving Byron alone with a kitchen full of food. Vicky sat in her car, trembling over her close encounter with Byron. He was right. She needed him, but that didn't mean she would make herself vulnerable to him.
She had learned the hard way that being vulnerable equaled being hurt and disappointed. She didn't think she could risk another heartache, and by the way she was feeling at the moment, she knew that Byron might cause her the kind of pain that would completely take her out. Vicky felt the rapid beating of her heart, but no matter how many deep breaths she took, it would not slow down. Her hormones yelled at her to go back to him, to let him ravish her with his sweet kisses. Her stomach dropped, and her warm sensation spread across her gut at the mere thought of him touching her again. She squirmed in her seat, even more determined to block him out of her mind. Yes, she needed him, and worse, she wanted him, but one thing that dominated Vicky more than her wants and needs was her ability to remain in control. She started her vehicle and quickly drove away from Byron's loft without looking back once. Vicky managed to avoid Byron for the most part over the next couple of weeks. She switched her office hours so that hers wouldn't collide with his, and steered clear of her workspace as if it were a contagious disease. The few times she did bump into him, she shunned eye contact and kept her words short. She was grateful that the campus was shut down on the weekend before Thanksgiving, because she desperately needed a break from both her students and Byron Bliss. Vicky's dilemma about Thanksgiving remained, but she figured that she could prepare the dishes he had taught her and use cookbooks to make everything else. She wasn't completely secure in her culinary skills, but she had spent so much time trying to escape Byron's presence that she had not come up with a backup plan for her holiday dinner. On Wednesday morning, she lay in her bed, trying to muster up the courage to begin cooking, knowing it would take her all day to make the majority of the menu. She would have stayed there forever had her house phone not rang, forcing her up and out of bed.
"Victoria!"
a loud feminine voice shouted through her phone's earpiece. "Yes, Aunt Mabel?" said Vicky sweetly, but was rolling her eyes simultaneously.
"What time is dinner tomorrow?"
3 o'clock.
Did you call everyone and tell the time?"
"Yes, ma'am."
Well, what you cookin'?"
"Same old things we always have during the holidays."
"Well, this food better be right. Last year, your brother's wife's cooking gave me a heartburn for a week. I told him that woman did not know what she was doing. He should have never married her in the first place. What good is a woman who can't cook?"
Vicky held the phone silently, hoping her aunt's rant would end soon.
"You still in bed? I hope not, because you should be over there cooking already. You got a lot of mouths to feed tomorrow. Cousin Fred is coming, and he just had another baby. What's that, 9 kids now? Him and that wife of his need to stop bringing all of these babies into the world, and they ain't got no money to pay for them. And your Uncle Lou is coming with his 2 sons. You know them boys are as big as a house and will eat you out of yours. You need to get out of that bed. I'm sure glad them folks ain't coming here messing up my good furniture and putting me in the poorhouse. But you can afford it, you being a doctor and all."
Victoria let out an exhausted sigh. "Aunt Mabel, you're right. I need to start cooking, so I'll see you tomorrow at 3 p.m.
"I'll be there at 1 o'clock, Aunt Mabel responded sternly, then hung up.
Vicky groaned at the thought of her overbearing family spending a day at her house. Normally, her twin sister Vivian would be around to help her cope, but this year Vivian and her husband were away, visiting his relatives in Georgia. She wished she could cancel the whole affair, but it was too late. She would have to suck up her bad attitude and deal with her family, like it or not. She grabbed her white terry cloth robe, slipped it on, and headed downstairs to her kitchen. Vegetables, meats, fruits, breads, and spices cluttered her countertops and refrigerator. Feeling overwhelmed, she rubbed her forehead and closed her eyes, praying for the strength to complete the meal. A minute later, she opened her eyes, determined to survive the ordeal, starting with a baking pan of macaroni and cheese. She pulled out a small notebook where she had written down the instructions Byron had given her about each dish. Feeling a bit more confident with the notes, she prepared the macaroni and cheese and put it in the oven to bake. Once it was baking, she decided to take a quick bath before starting on the other items. Inside the tub, she allowed herself to retreat to a place where Thanksgiving did not exist, and her family treated her with understanding and acceptance. By the time Vicky exited the safety of her bathroom, over an hour later, she felt refreshed and relaxed. She turned on some smooth jazz as she lotioned her body and got dressed. She was pulling on a pair of beige socks when she inhaled the aroma of something burning. She sniffed a few times and then panicked when she realized that the macaroni was still baking in the oven. "Oh no!" she shrieked. She flew down the stairs, dashed into the kitchen and urgently opened the oven door. Frustrated, she yanked the pan out of the oven using oven mitts and tossed the inedible dish onto the granite countertop. Tears welled up in her eyes as she quickly realized that she wasn't capable of making a holiday meal for her entire family. She imagined them showing up next day to a burned-down kitchen and poorly cooked food. As much as she hated to say it, she needed Byron, or she would be the laughingstock of her family. It had been a year since her brother's wife had fouled up the butter beans, and her family still made unnecessary comments about it. Crying and desperate, she picked up her phone and dialed Byron, hoping he would forgive her enough to rescue her.
"Hello?" he answered on the third ring. "Hello?" he said again, after she didn't reply immediately.
"Byron," she whispered.
"Vicky? Is that you? Are you okay?"
Byron sounded alarmed.
Vicky sniffed. "It's me, but I'm not okay."
"What happened? What's wrong?"
She closed her eyes, willing herself to tell the truth.
I need you. I can't do this on my own."
Byron paused and exhaled, then said,
"I'm on my way."
30 minutes later, Vicky opened her front door, finding Byron standing on the other side, smiling. Feeling embarrassed, she lowered her eyes to the floor and opened the door wider so that he could enter. He stepped into the house and she closed the door behind him, but before she could fully turn to face him, he moved in closer to her and placed a hungry kiss on her lips. Relieved that he still desired her, she wrapped her arms around him and returned the sultry kiss. He backed her body against the door as he continued to explore her mouth with his. She wanted to get lost in the moment, but seconds later he pulled away and she was instantly brought back to reality. Byron scanned her briefly and laughed. Confused, Vicky glared at him and said, "Why are you laughing at me?" He took her left hand in his.
"Because you're cute, and because you finally got real with me. It must have been pretty bad for you to let down your guard, so tell me what happened."
"I burnt the macaroni and cheese," Vicky said, ashamed.
He laughed again.
"Some people like a little burn on their mac and cheese."
She shook her head.
"No, it's really burnt. No one will want it, trust me."
"Okay, have you made anything else?"
"No, I couldn't. I just called you."
"I see. Do you have any more cheese and macaroni shells?"
"No."
He kissed her forehead compassionately. "Listen, I need you to go to the store and get what we need to replace the macaroni and cheese. While you're doing that, I'll stay here and start cooking everything else." She nodded and put on her coat to head to the store. Byron turned and began walking, searching for her kitchen. Before he was out of sight, Vicky called out to him, "Thanks for coming, Byron. I know I haven't been the easiest person to deal with, but I promise that I will be nicer from now on." He spun around and grinned and said, "I'm going to hold you to that." Byron and Vicky spent the entire day and well into the night preparing the massive Thanksgiving meal, hoping it would be enough to satisfy her demanding relatives. Around 4 a.m, Byron kissed her one last time on the cheek and returned to his own home. Vicky, exhausted from the endless hours of cooking and baking, collapsed into her bed and did not wake up until noon on Thanksgiving. Having overslept, she quickly showered and dressed, then began to warm the food for her family's arrival. Byron had helped her set up the tables and chairs the day before, so all Vicky had to do was reheat the food and set it out on the buffet table. By 1:50, members of the family began to encroach about her house, surveying the meal as if they hadn't eaten in days. Instead of waiting until 3 p.m, Vicky decided to allow people to eat as they came into the house, hoping it would reduce the amount of traffic in front of the buffet table and get her relatives out of her home faster. The new plan worked to her advantage, keeping her from having to fight with her guests, trying to sneak pieces of chicken early.
"This is real, real nice,"
Aunt Mabel said as she finished her second plate.
At least you can cook better than your brother's wife.
Katrina, Vicky's brother's wife, overheard the rude comment and folded her arms, pouting in anger. Vicky, understanding how hard it was to please her family, spoke in Katrina's defense. You know what, Mabel? It is a lot of work cooking for this many people, and you all don't even attempt to help with the food. I think you should show a little more appreciation. After all, it is Thanksgiving.
Aunt Mabel twisted her neck in indignance. I am appreciative that you know how to cook well enough not to kill me.
Vicky was beyond tired of her ill-mannered aunt and the rest of her greedy family, and she no longer cared if they thought she could cook or even continue to view her as perfect. Actually, I cannot take all of the credit. A friend of mine helped me with the food. To be honest, he prepared the majority of it, she stated.
Mabel sucked her teeth.
He? Who is he? You know, I don't eat everybody's cooking, Vicky smirked.
Well, today you ate his. Two helpings of his cooking, to be exact.
Matter of fact, I think I will invite him over so that you can thank him for yourself.
Vicky stood up from where she was seated among her relatives and marched out of the dining area into the kitchen. She grabbed her cordless phone as she walked upstairs to gain some privacy. Sitting on her bed with her bedroom door closed, she dialed Byron's cell number, hoping he would answer.
Hello? He answered in a groggy voice.
Byron, it's me, Vicky. Did I wake you?
Yeah, but it's fine. What's the matter?
Nothing and everything. My family is driving me up the wall, but what else is new? Wait, why are you sleeping? Weren't you supposed to be having dinner with your family today?
I was supposed to, but I was up half the night helping a beautiful woman cook for her family, so I chose to sleep in and skip dinner. My family is eating dinner in Buffalo, and I don't feel like driving out there.
Byron, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to cause you to miss having Thanksgiving with your family. Why didn't you tell me?
Vicky, it's okay. I have dinner with them all of the time. You needed me last night, and I wanted to be there for you. It was my choice. It's not your fault.
I still feel bad. Why don't you come and eat with us? There's still plenty of food left. Plus, you can meet all of my annoying relatives that you spent half the night working to feed.
He hesitated, then said, Really? You're going to introduce me to your family? Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Like I said before, I need you. But you'd better hurry up before I change my mind.
Byron chuckled. Yes, ma'am, I'm on my way.
Vicky hung up the phone and smiled. For the first time in a long time, she appreciated the Department of Academic Affairs for the systematic changes, especially the one that led Dr. Byron Bliss into her office, life, and heart. Thanks for allowing us to share this, Andrea. I hope you've enjoyed this week's tale. I liked it. It was a sweet, down-to-earth romance that spoke to me about the pressures of family expectations. My husband is very anti-familial expectations and would, I know, scoff at this feeling of obligation to families and their demands, especially during the holidays. I like the fact that towards the end of the story, our protagonist begins to stand up for herself against some of the more destructive family behaviour. I think that it can be more difficult to recognise bullies when you love them. You can locate the show notes at rompod.com, and if you've enjoyed this story, please recommend this podcast to your friends. Come out of the romantic closet and help me share the love. There's always more room for lovers of romance. We are currently looking for authors and narrators, so if you're interested in being a part of Rompod, please contact me, amanda.rompod@gmail.com. With special thanks to my husband, Simon. That's it from me. I've been your host, Amanda McCall. Thank you for joining me, and we'll be back next week with our story, The Art of Seduction, by Laurie Brighton. Please remember, whenever you can, share the love. This podcast is shared under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. You may distribute, display, and copy this work, but not for commercial use. You may not alter, transform, or build upon this work in any way, and if you use it, you must link to the original work. The stories within each episode remain copyright of the authors. RomPod is created using the Audacity editing software. The music used in each episode is sampled from Tango di Manzana by Kevin MacLeod. Find his work on Incompetech.com.